moment.
Yeah.
They are. They have for a while. And there's a lot of reasons for it. I think the biggest one is people just aren't having as large of families. Yep. The families that were having three or four kids are having two. Kids are getting more expensive, you know.
Right.
So I think that's part of it as well. And things shift. You know, Wastosha, you look at the enrollment of Wastosha and Wilmot, those have changed drastically in the last 8 to 10 years. Yep. The enrollments used to flip. So sometimes it's facilities, a lot of times it's academic programs, sometimes it's a lot of athletic program. What can you offer my kid after school that gets them in a passion of what they want to do?
And I think that all play is part of this, too. A lot of schools want the ability to try to make the playoffs because they get to keep practicing and keep playing. So am I wrong that Catholic Central, before they decided to not play this year, were in the same conference as like Milwaukee Pius? So enrollment only isn't it anymore. And I think the WI, I mean, everybody has their WI stories and reasons to be critical. I think Stephanie Hauser's done an unbelievable job of addressing what the membership says are problems and trying to fix them. So, you know, should you have a conference with a school of, you know, 1,100 kids and a school of 250? I don't know. But some schools can handle that. So we'll see how that goes. But I do think change is good, and it just takes time for people to get used to the change. But when people aren't happy, they have a process to go through that they can go to a different conference if they want to.
All right, next question. I don't know which one wants to field it. The competition, I'll call it the competition level WIA put out with the points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to sectionals, you go on to state. How do you two feel about when that was instituted? Are you good with that? That teams, if you're successful, then you have to go up? Or being, I'm a dinosaur here.
Yeah.
I'm a private school guy from Racine St. Catharines years ago. Or is it to make the private schools have to be more comparable with the rest of the schools?
I can go first. I'm on that committee and was on the original committee.
Great,
so, yeah, I support it. The membership supported it by like a 70-30 vote. And I think, as I mentioned before, there's got to be a better way to do it than enrollment only. There are socioeconomic factors in some school districts. I mean, the ability to move your program down a level, I think, is also part of it that I was a big fan of when they put it in. I mean, it could tell stories of Ashland High School has 900 kids in her high school, and 300 of them are some religious group that doesn't allow their kids to do anything after school.
Oh,
so should
wow.
they really have to count all 900 of those kids? So I support the program. Do I think it needs a little tweaking? It might. I don't know if 6 points is the right number of points, but that's the point total we're using right now. So I guess I thought maybe overall, but there's like 2.5% of the schools, they read that number the other day, got moved up. That's not a lot, but, you know, should you have to win a state championship to get moved up? Like, those are the types of things I think about a lot. So we're, you know, ongoing discussions. I don't think until we have a lot more data they're going to make a lot of changes to it. But I think for the most part it's gone well. I know our gymnastics program got moved up from Division II to Division I, and we're just accepting of that, and we're looking forward to the, you know, better competition in Division I.
So, again, it's not just for, okay, we got to do something with these private schools because they pull kids in from everywhere.
Yeah.
So
I think it's access to resources. I mean, there's a lot of, I remember when I was coaching basketball at Elkhorn, the good teams were in the city conference in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's not that way anymore. So it just isn't.
Right.
The best basketball in the state is up in the Fox Valley area, you know. So access to resource, equipment, better coaching, those types of things. Probably better coach, everything. You know, club, scene, all those things.
Okay, I got to ask. I'm a basketball junkie, too. I cover basketball. Mm-hmm. Will we ever see more than 4 Division I teams up at Madison?
I sure hope so.
Oh, you're with me then.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure.
I agree, yeah. You need to get an 8.
Yes.
Yep,
yeah.
I think 8. I remember the days of 8, which weren't that long ago. Man,
yes.
It was an enjoyable weekend.
It was fun to watch teams play three different styles, 3 different days. That was really fun to watch. So, and people, unfortunately, I mean, once again, people can take all the shots at the WA they want. My argument to people who are like, why do we need more Division I teams is 12 of the 20 teams that make it to state have an enrollment of under 500 kids. Come on. That's not – people like to watch those teams, but they don't
right.
want to watch – you know, there are some teams that make it to state that wouldn't be very good teams in Division I. Let's say that.
No, right.
But you've also had, you know, St. Cat's a couple years ago when Nick Bennett was coaching. That team could have played with all the Division I
right.
teams that year. So, nice bunch of kids, too.
Yeah.
I have a question quick, if I can borrow the mic for a second. One of the things that has come up with the WI, they're switching to the automated playoff brackets and stuff like that. Something as you as a former football coach, what are your thoughts on it so far? And now switching to an athletic director side, pretty much it's hush-hush right on the form and what all goes into what, you know, where you rank. So talk a little bit about that and if it's good, bad, and what you see the future of it.
Well, on the football side with the automated bidding, we had two seasons in a row where we played Waterford a week 9, and then we faced them first round of the playoffs. And even one year where we had a better record and we beat them head-to-head, we still ended up being the team on the road, which it got explained to me 9 different ways. I didn't quite understand. Here's the thing: I've been in those meetings. Those are hard meetings to be in. They get personal. There's vendettas. It's not always. Here's the thing: you go back to the rooms with coaches, and they're going to say, "Well, you need to be more objective about it." You just keep going back and forth. At the end of the day, you want to see competitive games. You know, you want to see good matchups. You want to see good matchups in week 1 if you can, but a lot of times that's not the case. But then they get more competitive as you go along. I don't have the best answer for it. I didn't have it when I was a coach, and I don't have it as an AD either.
I think they're going to meld the numbers to here's the numbers, spit them out, get the coaches together on Saturday morning for a half hour and just go through that appeal process. I think that would help. So when you get in that situation, you can say, hey, we beat them twice, and Bakken says, yeah, you beat us twice, and you just flip whoever.
Which they don't have right now.
They don't right now. I think that would help. If they're super worried about alliances and conferences ganging up on other conferences, then just switch the makeup of those sectionals. We've been in sectionals. We have moved all the time because we sometimes get pushed towards Madison. Sometimes we get pushed towards Milwaukee. And so, like this year, I think there's one team in our conference in our sectional in boys and girls basketball, which is crazy. So they just move us around a lot. And I think people want to know, like, okay, who are you going to put us up against and keep that consistent so we can play some non-conference games against them? But I say spit them out Saturday morning because they got to get those done pretty quickly and get those officials assigned. But I think just get the coaches together for a half hour, and it might not take 5 minutes because you might have some people that just say, hey, we're the A seed, we're good, you know, and just take that. So,
all right, Dylan, you got another question? Go ahead.
To kind of go along with that, you know, a lot of schools are co-oping for sports. Something we're seeing more frequently in the southeast Wisconsin area is 8-man football, and that's becoming more of a regularity. Obviously, your two schools aren't to that point yet, but schools in this area are, including teams that can't field varsity. We had seen this week West Bend East canceled their game on Friday. They're a Division I school. In my opinion, that type of stuff just can't happen. So talk a little bit about just numbers down across not only football, but all sports.
I would say sinking of youth programs to high school programs is a must. And West Bend's got a unique situation, as we know, with the two high school athletic programs and one high school. But if you don't have that sink, you have no chance. And those schools that end up with 8-man, I think once you go down to 8-man or lose your program, it's really, really, really hard to get it back now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One last question. Being from Racine, and again, we cover the three district schools. I touched on this with Eric a little bit, so you can both discuss it real quick. It's inevitable. It looks like Park and Horlick are going to merge as one high school eventually. I mean, the enrollment at Park keeps going down. I don't know if you heard about that or not.
Yeah.
I know Eric has heard about it. What happens then if...
Going to make for some odd numbers and some interesting conversations.
I mean,
yes,
is that what happens then? It would be an odd number in the...
Well, yeah. I don't know what they would do. I mean, when Sun Prairie went to a second high school, they went and they would go back to that whole redistricting plan, and they'd have to figure out how they would handle that. But I would want to know, I guess, what's the enrollment of the two schools together would be the first thing. So I would assume they would stay in the southeast.
Right.
But obviously, if you have only then a 6-team conference as opposed to a 7-team, that might get some movement started too. It's a lot of change happening, and and we have some enrollment disparity in our conference. I think the biggest school is Badger, about 1,400. I think the smallest is Wilmont, around 9. So that's 500's a lot. So, but I think Wilmont's happy where they're at right now. So, but I don't know. I don't know if Westosha, if they keep getting bigger, will move over towards the Southeast Conference. I don't know if Badger would be that team. I don't know if Badger heads up towards Janesville. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Makes for fun conversations, right?
Boy, I'll tell you, we could talk for another hour. This was great, and I'm sure our listeners enjoyed this, but we're going to have to get back to – we got a second half football
Yeah, great
to play.
Game tonight and a nice
great
night.
Great game.
So, thanks
nice
for having
night.
Me. Up. Good
thank you so
there.
Much,
thanks.
John. Thanks. Eric, thank you so much. All right, that was athletic directors Eric Sulik and John Handel with just excellent discussion there. Hopefully our listeners, they stayed with us. So we'll step away for 60 seconds, and then we'll come back for the third quarter. You're listening to high school football streaming live on DG Sports.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And this week, O&H is featuring their Viking Toast Kringle, a Danish twist to French toast. It has a maple cinnamon filling with a layer of cream cheese, topped with vanilla bourbon icing, and sprinkled with cinnamon. Delicious! And for great fun, enjoy the O&H 75th anniversary celebration this Saturday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Highway 20 store. There'll be live music, family activities, photo ops, Kringle samples, specialty pizzas, and fun to be had. O&H Danish Bakery, Racine Sturdivant and Oak Creek.
Get ready for the winning team of selection, service, convenience, and savings at Studebaker's Fuel and Food in Racine. During this sweltering summer, cool down with an ice cold deal. 10-pound bags of ice for just 99 cents. Keep your refreshing beverages cool while you're out and about. Whether you step into the store or slide through the convenient drive-thru, Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Fast meets fantastic at Studebaker's Fuel and Food, located at 31 and Spring in Racine.
Anytime, anywhere at dgsports.mixler.com. As somebody who is a sports junkie myself, Dick, that loves all high school sports, I think that those interviews were very informative, very well spoken by both athletic directors, and you know, it's just really nice to have that conversation, and I think they both did a wonderful job with you here.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of questions answered, and I mean, John Handel, especially from Elkhorn, I mean, he was so concise, frank with us. I mean, super.
Yeah, very professional speaker. It's cool to find out he's part of that competitive committee that makes those decisions. I think the transparency thing is still somewhat of an issue when it comes to the brackets and such for basketball, football. I liked what he added there about the 30-second little, or 30-minute, you know, hey, this is where we seated you guys. There is a discrepancy, such as Waterford losing twice last year, or losing to Burlington, and then getting the home game. So I think little things like that could get ironed out. But, you know, we'll see if that comes to fruition here this year.
And again, you can listen to this game on dgsports.mixler.com or on WRJN Radio 1400 AM in Racine or 99.9 FM in Racine or on the Mixler or Civic Media app. DG Sports, we cover all Racine City and County schools. So again, we're just about ready to get our second half underway here.
And while we wait, Dick, I'll bring you the game summary brought to you tonight by Frank DeQuisto, First Weber Realty. Our action started in the first quarter. Elkhorn marched almost 80 yards on their first drive, doing whatever they pleased with the Burlington defense. It ended on a 3-yard touchdown run by Hudson Crackless to go up 7-0 in favor of Elkhorn. On the ensuing drive for Burlington, Cade Boyd played a key factor, taking it 40 yards, setting them into Elkhorn territory. This set up a 4-yard touchdown pass to Jackson Bebo at 3:10 to make it 7-7 in our first quarter. The scoring held off in the second quarter until Elkhorn answered that long Burlington drive with a long one of their own. On a 3-yard quarterback dive, Brett Kitzmiller took his own number, Elkhorn 14-7 at 7:58. Burlington marched down 65 yards, put points on the board as well, thanks to a 1-yard touchdown run by Cade Boyd, putting it 14-13, where we have our score right now, thanks to a blocked extra point.
All right, thank you for that, Dylan. And we're set to get this third quarter underway. I can say it now. We had a very fast first half.
Very fast first half. We'll see how the second half goes. We don't want to jinx ourselves again this week, Dick.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of discussion was done by both coaches as far as, okay, we got to change this, we got to change that. I mean, it was a very good quarter. And we're underway here. Squib kick by the Elks, taken by one of the upbacks for the Burlington Demons. Looks like that was Brady Weiss.
I'd say the only complaint I would have, Dick, if I was a coach of either one of these teams is, guys, we got to stop giving up so many big plays, and we just need to keep controlling the ball. We're able to move offensively, but things need to start picking up defensively so we can get a stop.
All right, first and 10 for Burlington at their own 36-yard line. Sulik will bring him out. He's in the gun. Got Boyd behind him. Got wide outs to his left, one to his right. Sulik hands it off to Cade Boyd, trying to get to the outside, and they push him back inside for a minimal gain as we start this third quarter. 14-13, Elkhorn with the lead. Very good first half by both teams. And again, as Dylan mentioned in pregame, both of these teams are committed to the run, no doubt about it. I would say Sulik